Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
On Monday, State Senator Jeff Smith from Eau Claire and State Senate candidate Kelly Westland from up in the Ashland area. According to a story, I believe, from the Cleveland Plain Dealer here, the much-anticipated, maybe just-anticipated sequel to A Christmas Story will be released in November. This is according to Deadline. It says it's called A Christmas Story Christmas and will premiere November 17th on HBO Max. Peter Billingsley again will play Ralphie, who returns to his childhood home with his wife and children in an attempt to capture the Christmas magic of his childhood. Time for a true confession. I'm not a Christmas Story fan. I knew we'd find something else to fight about besides zucchini, you know? Wait.
I'm pretty young, so I'm agnostic to the Christmas Story, I guess. I'll watch it if it's on the television and if other family members want to watch it, but I don't go out of my way to turn it on.
I don't know when it got big. I mean, it originally flopped at the box office when it first came out, and then it was one of those that just got played, I think, by WGN and maybe some others, and that's what they had. So you, and if I suppose with like anything, maybe if you play it often enough, it grabs a following. But, you know, never been a fan.
TBS, I think, is the one that runs it.
TBS,
like,
yeah.
I want to say 24/7, like the 3 days leading up to Christmas, all day Christmas, and maybe like the day after as well. So it's always on. Like, I know during the holiday season, I always catch at least maybe a 10, 15 minute chunk of it, maybe a little bit longer if I'm feeling extra lazy and in a food coma from all the delicious food being eaten. But I mean, besides the "you'll shoot your eye out, kid" quote being used in pop culture, there's the one
that we use, and it's probably the only scene I got a chuckle out of was we still use the word fragile. For the fragile that's on the box when they pull out the leg lamp, you know, and how the dad character thinks the leg lamp is like really, really something.
Yeah, here in Madison there, the Caribou, it's a dive bar on the Isthmus, and they have year-round in their like front display where you walk in that same exact lamp.
Oh, sure.
So that lamp is there at a dive bar here in Madison.
Somebody has to have it, you know. Much of the original movie was filmed in Cleveland, but apparently the sequel was filmed in Hungary. There will be no new scenes of Cleveland streets or the original house. And again, and this is the second attempt at a sequel. A Christmas Story 2 was released straight to video in 2012. So I just don't know that that's a...
It's got to flop first, then get picked up by a no-name television channel to then be ran nonstop to get a cult following and then build from there. They're taking the same strategy as the first one, Pat. Come on.
Sure. Hey, if that's what works, all right, so be it. The one of the big stories this week has been the decision by the Biden administration to cancel debt, either $10,000 or $20,000, depending on the type, of education debt. And so the question has been asked of the... Let's see, the most recent number, 715,800 Wisconsin residents have federal student loan debt. So how much of that is going to apply here? And I want to give the source proper credit here. I think it's just it's through WisPolitics, but it's a White House data sheet.
I believe it came from the Department of Education. So
there you go. Nick Hillman, Director of Student Success through Applied Research Lab in Madison, says as many as 220,000 borrowers in the state could have their federal loans completely forgiven if they meet the income threshold. He says that of that total Wisconsin residents with federal student loan debt, 715,800 of us, or of you, mine thankfully is paid off, 31% have less than $10,000 in debt. And so at least 31% of that total group is going to have their debt wiped off. And that is, I mean, that's huge for what folks are going to be able to do, you know, in their household economy and in the local economy.
Yeah, it's going to be transformative for a lot of Wisconsinites and Americans across the country as well. And I don't understand the bemoaning, I guess. And it's when people are like, well, I suffered, so others should have to suffer too.
Yeah,
I just don't understand it. And there's a lot of people saying, well, if I don't benefit from this, why should the federal government be doing it? And as a Wisconsinite, I don't benefit from the manufacturers and agriculture tax credit. There's no job creation requirement for that tax credit here in the state of Wisconsin. And I mean, it still got passed. There are plenty of things that happen all the time that don't affect everyone. And so the bemoaning around this debt cancellation and relief, much needed relief for, like you just said, hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites and more, is huge. And I don't think we should be
turning our nose
up to that.
It makes, you know, for there's just some people that either live to feel aggrieved or they know that they know how to make other people feel aggrieved and to concoct something forever in the us versus them vein rather than, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. And that's too bad. But some people are helping to put that in perspective. And you had Scott Ross on a couple days ago from One Wisconsin Now.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday I mentioned him and Lee Zeiker and everybody else. And I wanted to revisit basically an op-ed that Scott penned to talk about, you know, the focus that they put on it years ago. And we've already, I won't dwell on the part about, you know, how good this can be to the regional economies and such. But he does want to make sure that he gives not just proper credit to the Biden administration and say that, you know, Democrats have given the student debt crisis a punch in the mouth. But he wants to take note that Wisconsin Republicans, on the other hand, continue to support the debtor state, leaving hardworking student loan borrowers held hostage to a system that treats them unfairly and rewards their hard work with decades of debt. Wisconsin Republicans passed and supported $1.9 trillion in tax breaks for rich people and corporations put on our nation's credit card, and yet they oppose relieving borrowers of any burden from the shackles of oppressive student debt. Scott Ross goes on to write, Wisconsin Republicans opposed removing the law which prevents student loans from being discharged in bankruptcy. Wisconsin Republicans opposed making tech college and university education free so that people of all ages and demographics can achieve their dreams. Wisconsin Republicans opposed removing statutes of limitations on debt collection and prohibitions on predatory lending. And Wisconsin Republicans even opposed allowing borrowers to refinance their student loans at no cost, just like you can on a mortgage, even though 9 out of 10 Wisconsin voters said they support this common sense assistance. So he just asked in closing that people remember who were the champions on ending the education debt crisis and that there remains much more work to do. So again, all credit to Scott and other folks who were advocating on this nice and early. We're now at the part of the show where I complain about what the Brewers did last night.
How can you? They flew home. That's all they did.
And that's the end of this segment of this is normally where Pat complains.
It was so quick.
It was refreshing that way.
Do they have a doubleheader coming up? Because before,
I don't think so.
I heard that they had 31 games over 31 days, and so I got confused then because they had this day off. I didn't think that they had a day off in this stretch. So now I'm gonna have to go back and check who told me that and see if there is a doubleheader.
Well, see, now I got to go look. Of course, I don't have my readers here, but I'm looking for any signs of a doubleheader on the schedule. And I'm not saying, I mean, I know there's been rainouts.
I could have looked as well.
You could have, but, you know, then that wouldn't have been nearly as helpful. And you can watch me squint over here. but no, I'm not seeing anything there. So we got the 3 with the Cubs.
So maybe it was 30 games over 31 days or something like that.
Yeah, I could go with that. Then Pittsburgh, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then they go on a big road trip again. They Labor Day weekend, 4 games in Arizona, followed by 3 games in Colorado. Oh, I found it. After the 3 games in Arizona and the 3 games in Colorado on Thursday, September 8th, they play the Giants. They play San Francisco for 2 games at American Family Field.
Ah, see, so, I had a feeling that there was.
So that was probably supposed to be, was that supposed to be an off day? Because again, they're doing 2 games in 1 day. It's not part of a series. Because then it's followed by a 3-game series at home against Cincinnati.
No, it's the make. It probably at the start of the season was supposed to be. But if you remember, the MLB owners did a lockout for the last offseason. And therefore, opening day didn't start on schedule for
That was this season.
That was this year. That was earlier this year.
I was thinking that was last year.
The owners are now jamming in as much baseball as possible because they were dragging their feet on player negotiations the start of this season. So the reason the Crew don't have a day off on September 8th then is because they had to fit in that two-game series against the Giants that they most likely, I would have assumed, missed in that first 2 weeks that was condensed off the season.
See, and I've completely whiffed on that because I haven't heard about any of these makeup games for quite a while. But yeah, that does make sense now. So I'm not going to take time to pull it up. But if San Francisco is coming to Milwaukee to play two games on a Thursday, kind of makes you wonder where they are. Where are they coming to or from?
That's gotta suck. Yeah, I really hope. Yeah. I hope for scheduling purposes that they were somewhere here in the Midwest and they're not just flying to Milwaukee.
I was gonna say it could be St. Louis or Chicago or something like that. So you know, here's hoping.
Although I also will take any advantage the Brewers can get, and so if those Giants are very sleepy and tired and exhausted from the road trip that they have to go through, by all means, let's play up any advantage we can get.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely take it here. If you are watching on Facebook or Twitter and look for a way to catch us that does not involve looking at our mugs, we are now on TuneIn.com and the TuneIn app. And that includes being able to use a smart speaker like Alexa to ask for our flagship station, WXCO. And if you ask to play that or seek it out on TuneIn, you will get Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. And again, if you're catching this live and you go, I want to be able to hit fast forward on, God, he's going to tell another grandpa story again. Well, then we slice this three-hour show up into three podcasts, each one about 45 minutes, I get. You know what? No, that's actually a fair question because I haven't listened to the podcast, whether we include the commercials or is that a commercial-free deal?
It's a commercial-free deal. So you can go check out the podcast. Man. And there's really only grandpa stories to skip through then. No ads to skip through, just the grandpa stories you don't want to hear.
I feel like we should, set up little markers where if you hit a button, it'll skip past, you know, something like that. I don't know if we should let the sponsors know about that because I was just hearing from a sponsor today who has an idea for a new weekly segment. And, you know, we've already told one story today about, you know, cheesing off an advertiser. So we'll
have to hear them out then. We'll have to hear them out.
I guess. Here's the thing. Listen, go ahead and listen as a podcast, but then we'll attach a list of places that you should patronize instead. I listened to a nationally syndicated podcast the other day and on the drive down here a couple of nights back and was amazed at how many commercials they put on to precede that. And I wasn't in a position because I was driving and it was, a rainy night. It was dark. So I couldn't, reach over, for the phone or whatever and hit it. So, I mean, there was at least four commercials that played before the podcast even started. And I know they know that there are skip buttons and advanced 30-second buttons, but clearly they counted on just enough dopes like me who at some point I didn't even want to skip. Now I just want to see how far this went. You know, at some point you've come this far.
How many ads can they shove down my throat?
Let's see. They tell me it's a 45-minute podcast. Am I going to get 44 minutes of commercials? And then somebody going, ha, 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 I bet you thought you were going to listen to me for a while. No. Now back to our commercials. It could be, I would do that. You know, it could just be me doing 44 minutes of live reads, for sponsors. So all we got to do is get enough sponsors. That way they don't have to hear grandpa stories. I will extol the virtues of your product or service instead. But that was a lot. It was also though. I mean, it was one of those great big behemoth groups, that own something like, 3.2 million radio stations. So they got nothing but space to put commercials on there. Anyway, we're really appreciative that you joined us here. This is normally the part where I say goodbye. I did this just for Luke this time.
See, Jesus. I thought you were going to do it again. I thought, oh no, I got, see, yeah, I was ready to pull the plug on your little.
See, I don't.
Have a great weekend segment already now.
I don't keep a lot of things in my back pocket for you, but that one felt especially good. Let's take a little break, and then we're going to wrap up the show for real right after this. You're up north. Having a record year.
having a record.